Thanks.
Okay, cool.
Live audience, awesome. Appreciate you guys being here. Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and this is the Thor Love and Thunder Roundtable. So, what we're going to do is right now I'm going to introduce my participants that are with us, my co-host, Fedra Eckers.
Hey, everybody.
And we also have Sean Fleming.
What's going on, everybody?
And Bianca Ferraro.
Hi.
So the way we do roundtables is usually what we have is each of us will give about 5 minutes and talk about what we thought about the film. No spoilers, spoiler free. And then we'll rate it out of 10. And then after that, we'll get into spoilers, and then we'll say where this movie fits within the MCU, upper tier, lower tier, middle tier, around there. So I guess let's get this started. And I guess, Fedra, since you are on my right, what did you think of Thor Love and Thunder?
Overall, I really loved it. I think it had a little bit of everything, you know, obviously fun parts, you know, action. I mean, really bringing Thor back from, you know, the whole slump that he was in, coming into full mode. I really loved that. I mean, rating it overall, should we just rate?
Okay. Out of 10.
I mean, I would say 7 out of 10 for sure. For me, it just hit a lot better than the past ones. So as far as the other Disney films that have just come up, so I would say yes, I definitely want to see it again.
Okay, cool. What about you, Sean?
I had a lot of fun with this movie. I liked it a lot. It definitely is a nice extension from Ragnarok in a way, so we'll get into that. But no, it was a fun time, good movie, great action, humor, if you like the kind of humor it gives. But I would say out of 10, I would give it like 8.5 out of 10. Yeah, okay. I had a really good time with it. A lot of fun.
Bianca.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. It was different than I thought it was going to be going in. I had a different expectation of where the movie was going to go, but I was happy with where it did go. It was funny. The action was good. All of the acting was great. I loved all of the characters. I'm probably in between you guys with the rating. 7.5 or 8 out of 10 would probably be my rating. But I would watch it again. I definitely enjoyed it. And Chris Hemsworth is amazing as Thor. Incredible.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I thought it was a fun movie, but it wasn't the greatest story that we've ever seen. But I left entertained, and I think that's the important part. Mm. I would give it a 7 out of 10. You know, I thought Thor and Jane Foster were really, really good in this.
Yeah, agree.
But yep. We'll get into that. So, speaking of Jane Foster's Thor, what did you guys think of Jane Foster's Thor? I guess I'll ask Sean first. What did you think of it?
I mean, listen, I thought she did a great job. The character, the only thing maybe I would say like on a negative side is I think I wish we would have got a little more time with her.
True.
When she first goes to see, you know, Mjolnir at a new Asgard, and I know we'll talk about it more, but so I wish we would have got a little bit more time with that, or maybe actually showed it more in depth at actually happening, I think would have been cool. But I thought she did a great job. I think she kind of owned the character. It looks like she had a lot of fun with it. So I think that played a part in how her performance showed on screen. Like you mentioned, her and Hemsworth chemistry is just there. They play well off each other. So all their scenes together were great, from the comedic ones to the, you know, more serious tone ones. So yeah, overall though, she was a great introduction, and she did a really good job.
Okay. And by the way, we're in spoilers territory, so.
Oh, we are?
Yeah. So you can say whatever you want.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
I just forgot to mention it, but we are in spoilers.
I know if we could open the floodgates.
Frederick, so what do you think of
I agree with a lot of what he just said. I mean, Natalie Portman really showed the transition to, I think, from showing what she was dealing with as far as the illness and recovering, but then wanting to also be there and fight. I really loved that, showing that part. The chemistry was completely there, but I agree. I wish there was a little bit more showing of her. I felt like there was just so much to fit in the film.
Bianca.
Yeah, I agree. I think they used the time wisely with Jane Foster. We start finding out that she has cancer, seeing her and Darcy, and seeing that she's being strong, but you can tell she's scared, and she's working day and night to try to find a cure, along with Stellan Skarsgård's character, I forget his
Dr.
name.
Dr. Selvig.
Yeah. And then she hears Mjolnir calling to her, goes to connect with it, and then there is that time jump, and you can tell that her and Valkyrie have kind of gotten close even before Thor arrives and finds out that she's the Mighty Thor. She already has her outfit, and she seems to have been already practicing catchphrases and practicing using Mjolnir and everything. But I do think the time that they did use with Jane Foster was well spent, because I enjoyed seeing the backstory of Jane and Thor from movies past that we had never seen before, and just her, all of her emotional conversations with Thor were really, I think, a good part. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I liked her a lot. I wasn't sure if Natalie Portman could pull it off. Like, she hasn't been in the Thor movies for a while, and I kind of think she was kind of tired of just being in it, but I'm glad she came back. She was probably one of my favorite parts of this movie. She's a good actress. She looks great. She looked fantastic as Jane Foster Thor, or if you want to call her the Mighty Thor.
Yeah, Mighty Thor, yeah.
Mm. I like to call Jane Foster Thor, so we could separate, because Thor is still the Mighty Thor, too.
Right.
I got you.
But she was good, and I was afraid she wasn't going to look intimidating enough because of her size, but they pulled it off, or she pulled it off. She really knocked it out of the park. And probably my favorite parts of this movie were just the interactions between her and Thor, like when they got emotional and sentimental. Mm-hmm. Because from the trailers, to me, it kind of looked like Thor was just going to be a dumb buffoon throughout the whole movie, and Jane was going to be on top of her game, and he was going to be chasing after her like a puppy dog. But it really wasn't like that. You kind of saw that they really did love each other, and they really respected each other, and they both made sacrifices. And it really kind of moved me. And I wish it... There was like three scenes like that that I thought was really well done. But that's why I rated it as high as I did. I think if those stuff wasn't in it, I probably would have had more of a problem with the movie, but it did kind of open up where we got to see exactly why they really do care about each other, and it just wasn't some kind of fling. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. What about Chris Hemsworth, Fedra? Do you like him still as Thor? Degress? Oh, you do like him. Okay.
No, I think, like, he definitely did a great job at being the character. He really shows a lot of pieces that I think we're all talking about, of being comedic and, you know, wanting to emulate being, you know, the ruler of Asgard, but then at the same time he wants to explore the galaxy. So showing those different depths of the character is needed, and he's really pulled it off to show that. And it's not always easy. Some people can only emulate, like, the strong type, but also showing the comedic and the emotional. I mean, when he was with, you know, Star-Lord, I mean, that moment where he's like, oh, these are all the people that I love, and he just, like, is tilting like that. I mean, it was so awesome to show that kind of comedy. It's like, I want to be loved, too, you know? It was fantastic.
Yeah, completely agree. Chris Hemsworth is super funny when he needs to be funny. You believe the emotion when he needs to be emotional, and just every scene he's in, he feels like Thor, how Thor should be.
I would agree. I think it's gotten to the point where we were discussing it after the movie, where he pretty much owns that role now. You know, like, he's, because he does everything from the comedic well to the serious to he's got a level where it's like, now it'd be hard to really see anybody else playing Thor at this point in time, at least for like a while, you know. So no, I thought he was great. I think he fits that style of comedy perfect. That's why I'm sure the writing with the director, it's perfect. But no, I think he did an outstanding job. There's really nothing bad to say about his performance, at least in my opinion, from the movie.
Yeah, I think Chris Hemsworth has always been funny.
Yeah.
But Taika Waititi has pulled the specific humor out of him that he's so good at delivering that it's brought it to another level.
It just
works,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was worried that he was going to take a backseat to his own movie, but that wasn't it. This was a Thor movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they were supporting cast, you know, Valkyrie and...
For sure.
The Mighty Thor.
Mm-hmm.
But I was glad to see that. And at times he kind of acts like a dumb jock or a party boy or whatever.
Right.
But then he steps up his game, because you see that even Jane and I guess even sometimes Valkyrie, they realize just how good this guy is, that he's on another level as Thor. And again, I appreciated that. And good Lord, man, that guy worked out. this has got to be like the best he's ever looked as Thor. Like,
yeah.
If that doesn't motivate you to go to the gym, I don't know what's going to.
He was be flicked by Zeus.
By Zeus, yeah.
So he had to be in the best shape.
Yeah.
Zeus didn't look very good.
No.
Zeus, you know, he's had a lot of mead, you know.
A lot of
long nights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, if Russell Crowe was going to be in this movie, he should have done some push-ups before he started. Because everybody was in great shape.
But, yeah.
When you look at...
I think it was supposed to be that juxtaposition of this, you know, Thor is a god and he actually is doing things and protecting people. Correct. And is in great shape. And Zeus is here sitting on, what do they call that? Thing. The planet or whatever that he's on.
Oh, the world they live on.
Yeah, the world that they live on. And he even tells Thor, we're all safe here. Us gods are safe here on this world. You don't need to worry about Gore coming here because we're protected. We don't do anything. We live life to the fullest, and that's about it. We don't worry about the humans.
Well, look like a fun place to hang out, for sure. I mean, if this is really successful, I wouldn't be surprised if Disney tries to replicate that in the parks.
Well, Disney should replicate New Asgard. That was like almost like a Disney theme park.
That's true. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Pull up New Asgard somewhere.
But it was a cheap version of...
It was a rushed, cheap version, sure.
But it... Yeah. Did you like Russell Crowe, Fedra?
I mean, for the acting that he did, like playing a lazy Zeus, totally. He really made that persona of, like, you know... We don't even pay attention to that side of the world. Like, you should be here with us. And I really liked that they showed that conflict, that Thor was really calling them out, as he should have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like Thor calling him out, for sure. That was
good. And, like, realizing he's not his hero like he thought, you know, because he was talking him up. He's like, he's lightning, I'm thunder, you know. Right. He's like, oh, this is Zeus, you know. And then he meets him, he's like, oh.
You know. Zeus was funny, though. His entrance
was
cool.
No, it was. It was a decent scene.
And when Thor asked to use the lightning bolt, and Zeus did this whole thing, and then he was like, no. That was, like, super funny. I laughed really hard at that part.
I think that's how they wanted him to portray. Like, you know, like, I'm Zeus, I'm entitled, you know, we're safe here, kind of leave us alone type thing.
Yeah, we're going to kind of jump around a little bit, but one thing that I didn't like is Thor killed him, you know. And he came back. Mm-hmm. And they did that a lot in this movie, like they did with The Rise of Skywalker. Like, Korg, he was dead.
Valkyrie.
Should have remained dead. Valkyrie. Mm-hmm. And who knows? I mean, I have a feeling Jane Foster might not be completely gone from the MCU.
Yeah.
But I wish they would stop doing that. That's
fake out deaths.
Just because I think it would have added so much weight, even if Korg died.
Yeah. I totally agree.
But I will say Jane's death was probably added a lot of weight for the movie. And in a way, that was kind of quick. It's like maybe it could have happened in the sequel because we really didn't get to see that much of her.
Yeah, I was surprised that we lost her in this movie and not in a next movie. But I think they did it well and it made sense. And it was nice to see her in Valhalla in the post-credit.
And it might be a lot of what you mentioned before. You know, maybe she's kind of done with the role. You know, so, like, how long does she want to play it? But, like you said, can keep her in Valhalla just in case, you know, maybe there's a story they feel it's needed to bring her back, but...
Because in the comics, doesn't she become Valkyrie?
Yeah, at one point in time. That's actually what she's doing now in the comics.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's there, but I have a feeling they're going to run more with just let Thor kind of do his thing, and now that he, you know, there's a child involved and things like that, so... I think they'll more play that angle than bring in Jane Foster back into the fold at some point in time.
Yeah. What about you, Fedra? Do you think that she
got
cut out?
I was just thinking, like, about the multiverse. Would that play into it in the future, maybe, with bringing Jane back somehow? But, yeah, I agree that if you're going to put some, you know, realistic things into the film, like... Not everyone does come back, you know? So I would like to see more of that, of if this is the final aspect of the character, give it that space, give it that focus, and then put it to rest. Rather than, I feel like, I agree with you, they are revitalizing a lot of characters.
All right, let's get to Christian Bale as Gore. So, Sean,
I loved him as Gord. That's actually, if I have any complaint from this movie, is I think he should have got a little more screen time.
Yeah.
I think he should have got some more screen time. I thought he did an excellent job when he's talking to the kids inside the little, like, cage prison thing he made. I thought that was an excellent scene. Yeah. I do wish what I felt would have been a thing they should have done is I wish they would have showed him another time killing another god or, like, reaching another god's rights and, like, doing, like, fighting the soldier or something. Thought a good time they could have done that was when they're getting the distress call and they came across Lady Sif. Maybe, like, before they get to her, show, like, another video of him and then, like, kind of zoom in on that and, like, show that battle ensuing. Like, I just wish they would have showed him using the sword a little more and, like, you know, being, you know, God, the, you know, butcher of the gods, you know? But other than that, I thought as far as his screen time, I thought he did an excellent job. He was really good, really menacing, you know, felt like a villain. But, yeah, I just wish he would have got some more screen time, for sure.
Yeah, I thought Christian Bale was great. He was very scary. My only issue was because he moved through shadows, sometimes it was a little hard to see what he was doing, and that's not Christian Bale's fault, but I think that character choice made the visuals a little bit dark. But, yeah, he was great, especially the scene with the kids when he was talking to them. Super creepy, super scary. When he was having the face-to-face with Valkyrie, I really liked that scene when she was, like, tied up, and he was like, where were your gods when you needed them with all of your sisters and making her cry and everything? I liked that part. Mm-hmm. So I think Christian Bale is great.
Fedra,
he was good.
Yeah, I think he definitely personified death. It was a extreme image to me. Definitely there were some scenes where he looked like the Green Reaper, like all he was missing was the Reaper symbol. Mm. I do like that scene with Valkyrie, how he's trying to justify his actions. I still don't like that Disney is still trying to make us feel bad for him, like we should be slightly on his side and that he's slightly redeemable. I truly don't know how I would feel about that, you know, especially when you've literally massacred like tons of gods and then all of a sudden, you know, you redeem your daughter as the last point and now we're supposed to feel kind of good about it. Like that was my only thing. I feel like I would feel better enough if it was just like Thor against Gore going at it, finishing that, you know, showing that goodness prevails and that, you know, the evil is then quote-unquote punished or, you know, salvaged. So that was my only thing. I definitely agree that Christian Bale should have had a little bit more screen time. I would have loved to see more action and effects on how he's you know, sure, conquering these gods. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we see that in the first scene that he's just a man, right, that had so much faith and then is betrayed. And then, you know, holds this type of power, and how does he use it? So I would love to see just that psychology of it. It was like, how is he using it, and how is he overcoming so many gods at one point?
Like, show us one scene with, like, his true anger he has towards these gods. Like, give us something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, taking out one of them. Like, imagine if they would have showed him killing that big beast one they went to go see.
Yeah.
Like, how cool that would have been.
Snow beast, yeah.
You know, even if it was just, like, 30 seconds of him, like, killing off, you know? Totally. Something.
Was it a budget thing?
Like, just like give us something. That's all.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they filmed. There's a 4-hour cut out there somewhere.
Wow.
And
really?
We don't know if we're ever going to see that because Disney usually doesn't do that. They don't.
Yeah,
release.
They don't usually. I know.
But that they're putting it out there, like the director and even Hemsworth and Portman, they might be trying to get the fans to start something like what they did with the Zack Snyder cut. I don't know if I want to see a 4-hour version of this movie, but I'd like to see a little bit more, like you said, like with Gore being a butcher, because
for sure
we didn't really see much butchering by him.
Yeah,
right.
No, I think he was a good character. He was a good villain, but you guys are right. He just didn't have enough screen time, and it annoys me too that they left in a lot of goofy stuff that they could have cut out. Like, you know, why do you leave that stuff in and you don't? Right. Give the fans what they want to see. But it mm-hmm. could be because they were concerned about families and the audience being partly children, that might have been too much for them.
Mm.
Maybe.
But there was scary stuff in there. Is it?
Yeah.
Like with the kids?
Yeah.
I was shocked that they actually were, first of all, was showing that they had fear, that they were crying, they were screaming. None of them were little Leia from the Obi-Wan series.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
They really showed that they were real kids, and I like that part.
Yeah.
And like you said, I think it was Bianca, where Gore was talking with the kids and throwing a head towards them. That was a pretty cool scene.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Although I don't know, I kind of feel like the whole kid scene, the Asgardian kids, didn't need to be in there. It kind of took away from the movie in a way.
Well, he had to do something to lure
Jane
Foster and Thor there, and he figured kidnapping a bunch of new Asgard kids was a...
But that also led to the worst part, was when Thor gave them the power of Thor at the end of the movie.
I liked that part.
You did like that part?
Yeah, I thought it was cute.
I mean, I think once you kind of learn obviously the background of this movie is definitely love and, like, the theme of love, I think that kind of goes into a little bit of what he was doing there, you know, with the kids at the end, too, you know. I hear you, but I think, you know, that's one of those scenes, now that you know the kind of the message the movie's trying to say, now I think that scene makes a little bit more sense.
The girl with the bunny.
Yeah, the girl. but that's Taika right there. But that's like, see, that's like something he, like, I almost feel like he was like, listen, we're going to have a girl keep her stuffed animal, and that's going to be her weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I almost feel like he almost made that demand, you know?
Yeah.
They definitely gave him a little bit more free reign in this one than they did in Ragnarok. At least in my opinion. This had felt like a little bit more of his kind of movie, especially the humor.
I think it was important to show that generation how much of a hero Thor is, especially... Axel, Heimdall's son, because
mm-hmm.
I could see Axel becoming something in the future, whether he's a hero or, you know.
Another Heimdall.
Yeah, maybe another Heimdall, exactly.
Right.
So I think he needed to see that example of Thor being very heroic and giving those kids those powers temporarily.
Yeah. But you know what I noticed is when Jane shows up and everybody's surprised, like, all their eyes turn back to human eyes so that you can see their expression. They're like, and then all of a sudden they go back. It's like they start killing the shadow monsters.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to say about the kids, Fedra? Do you want to get on a podium?
Do you want me to start saying stuff?
Just be PG.
Yeah, you know? Be PG.
Yeah.
That entire scene, I agree, could have been... maybe altered. I get how the use of the children was to lure Thor, because they're Asgardian children and they're innocent children. Definitely that placement made me feel very uncomfortable just about the whole topic, especially from that specific type of theme has been in Shang-Chi, it's been in Doctor Strange, it's just been in the Obi-Wan series. It's just been in a lot of films lately where it's just about either the kidnapping or torture of children, which I find is very interesting to have that in Disney films recently. So it's why it kind of, you know, doesn't rub me the right way. And I feel that it was lovely to empower them in that shared power with Thor. But it's also, to me, kind of a way to save space. Like, we just showed this really terrifying, traumatic thing, but now we're going to make it really cool with all of them embracing this power. So that's where I'm kind of like, is this a good message? Is this not a good message? And I do love the fact that they fought back and showing that, you know, Axel stepping up and being a part of that group and leading as children. But it's also at the same time, like, let Thor lead and let Jane lead. Like, that's where I felt it should be as far as that message of fighting. Like, I would never expect or even desire, you know, children to pick up a weapon and have to fight, you know? So that's where I'm going at. Maybe it's too realistic and I'm overthinking it.
Even if it's a stuffed animal, like, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, you saw what that stuffed animal was doing. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm like, maybe they could have altered it a different way for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I just think that moment was a little cringy for me. But I want to see it again. I mean, I don't know if I'll go to the theaters. I'll wait for it to hit Disney Plus first, and I'll definitely watch it again. It was a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to get to some of the silly stuff, like the goats.
The who?
The goats.
Oh, the boat. They're the best.
You like them?
I love them, Joe. I love them. I really did. I honestly, and I know this never happened, I would be okay if every single MC movie moving forward had that noise in at some point in time, just randomly. I would be completely okay with it. Like, I was telling them after the, like, when, for me, I was officially in love with them when they finally get to the Shadow Realm and they run into the planet and they do the scream one more time. I was officially in love from that point in time. I get it. And that's when I also was convinced that they clearly let Taika just, we're like, listen, we're going to give our 5% touch here and there, but this is your movie, buddy.
Mm-hmm. I hope you're alone on that couch, because I have a completely different view on that.
That's okay. Yeah.
I felt they were unnecessary.
Thank you.
Not super duper funny, but I loved the visual, physical look of them, especially them leading the ship and going on that beautiful glass Bifrost rainbow bridge. Yeah. Bifrost
I would have been
bridge.
Fine if they weren't screaming like every 5
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah. It was funny when they were on the Guardian's ship, but then after that, I was like, okay, I'm not really laughing anymore.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, when Nebula was going to kill them, I was like,
right.
Great, just do it.
Do it, Nebula.
You know, it's like you'll make everybody in the audience happy if you do it.
Who knows?
I mean, maybe not everybody.
Yeah,
Sean.
Maybe a lot of people like them.
Joe is ready for a Nebula versus the goat scene.
Yeah. Maybe that's in the extended cut.
Maybe.
Fedra, the whole Stormbreaker and the Mjolnir and Thor, menage a trois thing.
I thought that was so funny.
I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. And I don't even think it's even, you can say it's a menage a trois. I think it was also like when you look at, I know it's probably not the best comparison, but it reminded me of Toy Story. It reminded me when Andy has like Woody and he has Buzz Lightyear and he's like, I love you both and I want to play with you both. I'm going to figure it out, you know, or I'll devote some time with you or I'll devote some time with you. That's how I felt it was. And it was, you know, at the same time he's dealing with, you know, Jane. I thought that was just so well done as far as writing.
You remember Andy a lot differently than I do. He just threw Buzz aside. He was like, yeah. Not Buzz.
Woody.
But I don't know. What would you guys think? Are you okay?
I loved that. Was one of my favorite parts of the movie was the whole back and forth with Stormbreaker and Mjolnir, and like when he walks out to talk to Stormbreaker, he's like, "Hey, are we okay? Like, are we good? You know, like I just." But I also think it kind of goes back to what I was saying before about the real like backbone or message of the movie. Like again, it's not just his love with, you know, Jane. It's also his love and his past with, you know, his two weapons. You know, there is a history there, and mm-hmm. Mjolnir came back in his life just as much as Jane did. Like that scene, if you notice, mm-hmm. when he first sees Jane again, he's seeing both the things for the first time. He's shocked, like, what's Mjolnir doing here? And then he sees Jane, so it's like twofold. So yeah, so I thought the interaction and the like how it was done, and how'd you two meet, you know, and stuff like that, asking those questions, like I thought it was good. Like those jokes, that humor part of the movie, I thought fit well.
I totally agree. I thought it was hysterical. You know, we've known in the past, but they especially show it during the Jane and Thor flashback that Mjolnir can hear Thor. Mm-hmm. They're kind of sentient, these mm-hmm. two hammers. So I thought it was very funny that he's kind of juggling, keeping Stormbreaker happy, but then also finding out what's going on with Mjolnir. Why are you with Jane now? How did you guys meet? I thought it was all super funny.
Yeah, I still didn't
not
like
for
it.
You.
Not for you.
I mean, maybe once, but they pushed it a little too far. And I think that's a big problem that a lot of people are having with the movie is the comedy.
Yeah.
They could have lightened up a little bit on the comedy. They went a little too heavy with it. And I would rather see, like, a serious story. Like, Marvel has always done a good job of mixing comedy, you know, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And with the action-adventure that we go and see with a Marvel movie, but it's starting to become dangerously close to being like a spoof of a Marvel movie. And I would rather just see Thor kicking ass and Valkyrie and Mighty Thor instead of all of this overdose of comedy. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's my issue.
I prefer the more serious Marvel movies also. But certain parts of this movie, I was happy that they went the comedy route because... Mm-hmm. It gave it a different flavor that felt new. Yeah. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
You okay, Fendra?
Yeah, I think it really saved the movie for me. I wanted it to be more lighthearted. I wanted it to feel good at the end instead of, you know, really hard tales. I feel like I just, like I've said about many of the films in the series, I feel like it's just too dark, and I want more lightheartedness. I feel like we need more of that.
All right. I feel like Sif was wasted in this movie.
Yeah. When they showed her, I thought we were going to get something like with her, like a scene with her, or maybe have her kind of help towards the end of the movie in some way. So I was surprised by that, too, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the fact that they did show her and that she's still alive, technically, I feel like she's going to have something down, maybe something on Disney Plus, maybe the Next Door movie. But I feel like they kept her alive for a reason. Mm-hmm. And there's been rumors that she may be popping up in some Disney Plus shows. Like, I've read a couple, so, yeah.
Well, I think the reason why she wasn't in Ragnarok was because she was tied to some NBC series that she was doing.
Okay.
But still, I kind of felt that it was very short, like her appearance.
Yeah.
Not that I would want to see a ton of people going on this adventure with Thor, but...
Right.
I still miss her.
She could have tagged along.
Yeah, no, like I say, they could have showed her fighting or something for a few seconds. That's what I mean, you know, before, yeah. They could have, yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about all the Guns N' Roses songs? Fedra, you're a musician.
I mean, in certain scenes, it hit the spot just right. I didn't notice that there were a lot.
I think four.
What?
Yeah.
Four Guns N' Roses songs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but where they placed it as far as for the action, like, I felt like that was well done. I enjoyed the music overall of the film.
I just feel like, you know, he's kind of ripping off James Gunn with Guardians a little too much now. It's like a competition. And I just wish they would limit that to Guardians, because it made it special in a way.
Yeah.
And when they put it to Thor, I would much rather see or hear a symphony and a choral being played during those battle scenes. And they must have made some deal with Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, maybe.
Because again, it's four songs. It's like, and now people are going to be listening to our music, buying the soundtrack. We're making money now.
Right. Yeah, sure. I think this, like, half of the songs hit good and half of them just kind of felt like, oh, we're doing another Guns N' Roses song, at least in my opinion. I think a score would have been better, because MCU does do beautiful musical scores, so that felt lacking.
Sometimes they do.
I thought maybe they're trying to bring this, like, because the whole theme is like love and thunder. I thought maybe they're trying to do this whole like classic rock kind of vibe to it, to kind of
build it with Ragnarok too.
Yeah.
They did the Led Zeppelin song in Ragnarok, so maybe they were just trying to
keep that
keep that going.
And they kind of had the same thing where he, like, during the battle on the bridge, you know, he comes down with the lightning strike in Ragnarok, and now this one, they did another lightning strike, silhouette side shot, so, you know.
Well, they know it pumps up the audience.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'd still, like, my favorite is watching Superman the movie and just hearing that Superman theme.
Right.
Come even during the opening credits, but like when he first appears and rescues Lois, well, you know, that is just so awesome. And we should see that for every Marvel character. They should each have a theme, and when they show up, you know they're showing up.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
Just by like three notes, it's like, okay, here we go.
Right.
Hold on to your seats.
Totally.
I guess. All right, Love. Love was the adopted daughter. It was Gore's child. Mm-hmm. She came back, and I guess she got the power of eternity. That's why she's like so super duper
That's a rumor now.
Fedra, what do you think of her relationship with Thor now?
I mean, there's not. I mean, it just started. So I mean, it's nice that, you know, the beginning is making some pancakes. I mean, that's right. All American wonderful there. I think it's interesting to show this kind of, I guess it would be more like adoption or foster parent is what he's doing. Because, I mean, she's not, you know, his, but she's, you know, a part of the team now. And I guess my next thing, because again, I overthink. It's like, are they going to Asgard? Are they going to move on to the galaxy? Like, where are they going and how are they doing this? And I find it interesting that as much as Thor was trying to find himself, now he's going to become a parent. So I find that's going to be an interesting phase. I don't know if that was ever shown in the comics of...
I mean, not like classic Thor runs, no. You know, like, yeah, even if they have her character, I mean, there's rumors that we were watching a video, there's rumors that some people think she may become a character whose name is Love in the comics and kind of has a similar power set. You know, they obviously changed it a little bit. I don't know if they're going to go down that road, but yeah, no, this was never like a heavy storyline in like classic Thor comics, no. Like him being like a dad.
Did you know that was Chris Hemsworth's real daughter?
We found out afterwards.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know that when we were in the theater, but that's cute.
Yeah. I'm not sure how far they're going to go with that storyline. Like I was telling them, like me personally, I really think they're going to kind of keep her contained to like the next Thor movie. That probably may be about it. Like, I don't think she's going to become like this, oh, Thor's here, here's his sidekick. Like, I don't think it's going to be that. Like, I think it was kind of a way to, again, to show that he accepted, you know, and not to be corny, but love conquers all type thing, you know, and he's going to accept this, that this is kind of his way to, right, you know, he can't have Jane, but they admitted they love each other, and this, and Gore kind of came around at the end. He made Gore semi-believe that love can win. This is kind of his way to kind of show both of them, hey, I'll take care of this from here. Because he did, in my opinion, he has kind of found himself. And that scene when he realized that love is actually the answer, I think he finally found himself. Mm-hmm. And now he's ready to take that next step, and maybe the next step is being a dad.
Yeah.
Well, I know it wasn't supposed to be funny, but I thought it was funny that Jane was like, we'll take care of her. And she's like looking at him, and he's like, whoa, what?
Yeah. It's
like, we haven't discussed this.
Because like she's about to die. It's like, so that means he'll take care of her.
Right, exactly.
I thought she was a brat. I was like, good God, I couldn't imagine raising that kid.
I mean, imagine Thor being your dad. You'd probably feel like you could get away with a lot.
Right.
You know?
I don't know. It could be the fact that it's his real daughter, Chris Hemsworth, but I wouldn't mind if the next movie starts with an asteroid heading towards Earth and it lands right on her head.
Joe, okay. Joe wants Thor 5 to be that, and then the goat's taken out in the first 30 seconds. That's it.
Yeah,
that'll be the greatest Thor movie ever for Joe.
It will.
Maybe she'll just, you know, get in the mix of all the new Asgard kids and become friends with them.
That'll be it.
And he'll leave her there.
Maybe.
And then he'll go
he'll
off
like,
on his own
okay.
adventure. That would be good. All right, she doesn't have to die. But
exactly, yeah.
I just don't want her in the movie.
Let's spare her.
She could go into training with with Valkyrie, you know.
Yeah,
and
that'd be nice. Give her a Disney Plus series.
To me, like her war paint, her face kind of looks like when Valkyrie gets all like ready for battle, it kind of looks like that. So I feel like that might be an angle they may take.
And Valkyrie was training them all for self-defense at the end.
That he may, like, you know, he may eventually say, listen, I got to go be Thor, or I have to go help with whatever the next big thing's going to be. You need to stay here.
Right.
Type thing.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Anything else? Oh, Hercules. What'd you guys think about Hercules showing up at the end?
I mean, I've been, like, fan casting in my mind Hercules for a while now, and that guy was not what I was expecting.
Who are you fan casting?
I was thinking maybe like Ansel Elgort. You know him from Baby Driver and West Side Story?
Besides me. Yeah.
Besides you.
I mean, I could have probably picked 10 other people besides that guy. But who knows? Maybe he'll be amazing. I mean, I'm excited that they introduced him.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed.
I only know him from Ted Lasso, so I can't say like... Yeah.
I mean,
I thought he looked cool.
That's what I was going to say. The scene happened so fast, so I really only got a look at his face. I didn't really get a look at his outfit or his weapon. But Sean said that he thinks it looked really
cool.
Accurate.
And that's exactly what his weapon looks like in the comics.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember Hercules from the old days, like, you know, back in the 70s.
Yeah.
And, like, he kind of had, like, almost like a toga with a sash and all that.
And, like, more of the headgear thing.
And a beard and a mustache. And this guy just didn't look like he looks too small. Unless they're going to build him up, but
I feel like they may bulk him up a little bit for the next, because I would agree. I feel like height-wise it's there, but he did look a little, like, slim. Kind of.
I mean, if The Rock wasn't as popular, they could have cast him.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Great point.
Yeah,
it might be a little too old, The Rock.
But he'd have to have a beard and a mustache, so that one's got to go. Like yours, Sean. You are right. You might have made a better Achilles.
He auditioned.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Sorry. They have other plans for me. I'm not going to get into it right now.
Does this transition into, like, the gods going to war?
I think it sets it up for Thor 5, that they'll probably fight each other.
For sure.
That will be epic.
Because that happens in the comic, for sure. That's he has run-ins with Zeus, Thor, he does, but it's more with Hercules. So that whole scene does make sense, because that's kind of almost how it goes down in the comic, too. Yeah. But eventually, Hercules does become an Avenger. He does become a good guy. So I'm sure that will come into play, but they will definitely battle at some point in time. Yeah, because his weapon is just as... I mean, you heard the thing, what we know, but his weapon is just almost just as strong as Mjolnir.
Yeah.
And it's made from a very similar metal. It's not adamantium, but the name is very similar.
Yeah, it's like adamantum instead of adamantium or something.
Yeah, so... they'll definitely battle for sure.
Mm. All right, so let's rank this now. So where do you rank this within the MCU movies? Phaedra, there's upper tier, there's a middle tier, there's a lower tier.
I might put it in middle tier, actually. I probably wouldn't put it in the lower tier. Because to me, lower tier is like Shang-Chi, which I really wasn't impressed with. Also, much, much earlier Spider-Man films that I wasn't impressed with. So I would say middle tier.
Sean?
Yeah, I would have it in middle tier. I think upper tier definitely special, but yeah, I don't. I enjoyed it much more than some. I enjoyed it more than Doctor Strange too. I had a little bit more.
I'd
fun
say
with
that
it,
too. Yeah.
You wow. Know?
So
all right.
And I have that probably like the very beginning of the low tier. So I would have it in mid tier.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd place it at the top of the middle tier for sure.
Yeah, I'd put it in the middle tier too. It's I know a lot of people are saying they love Ragnarok more than this movie.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah, I did.
I'd kind of put it around there, you know, maybe right behind it.
Okay.
I'd have to watch Ragnarok again. I haven't watched it in a while.
So good.
It's good. It's good.
But, I think if this, again, if they would have edited this movie properly, it would have been so much better, and I think it would have been a superior movie to Ragnarok and probably a lot of other Marvel movies. But so this was Phase 4. What are you guys thinking about Phase 4 right now? Like, right now we had Black Widow, we had Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, we had Eternals, Spider-Man No Way Home, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. We're getting Black Panther, Wakanda Forever this year, and then we're going to get Ant-Man and the Wasp, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and the Marvels, and maybe Fantastic Four might be in there too. Do you think they're doing a good job right now?
Well, going into Love and Thunder, I was hoping for more Phase 4 setups or explanations, and this felt much more just like a self-contained Thor story. But I think Phase 4 overall has been very... all the stories have been pretty self-contained. There's been a bit of overlap, but Phase 3 and the Infinity Saga, you know, each one just led into the other one so well. I think that's just what we were all used to. But I think so far Phase 4 is pretty good. I've been enjoying everything. Mm-hmm. It's just different. Definitely different from Phase 3.
Yeah, I think... at least I'm starting to maybe realize slowly that they might be using this phase big time to really just establish a lot more of these characters and like lay out their groundwork and their stories than so much like, hey, like we're going to tell you right now. Because I do know that Kang is, I think we all can agree, Kang is going to play a part. I think the whole excursion stuff is going to play a part too. And why I'm saying that is because, so Eternity was introduced in this movie, in Love and Thunder. And every single multiverse has their own Eternity. And when an incursion happens, or like when a multiverse is destroyed, that Eternity dies. He's gone forever. So in the comics, Doctor Doom eventually figures this out, traps some of them in this world called the Beyond World, and that's where the Secret Wars begins, and that's how that starts. So I feel like he was introduced for a reason other than just being a plot point in the movie. So we might be being told things a lot more than we realize, but I think it's such a long play still that it doesn't really make a lot of sense. So I think some people could be like, I don't know what's going on. But I think if you kind of like step back or when you were rewatch this phase, when it's all done, I think it might make a little bit more sense. But right now it does seem a little bit all over the place. I wouldn't deny that. But, you know, at the end of the day, trust and fight. Yeah, I guess, right?
Okay.
Don't have a choice.
It's 50-50. I mean, from everything that you named, there's only a couple that I really enjoyed of Phase 4. I would just say, which is probably not going to be possible, is for them to just stop repeating the same narratives. Like, I'm just tired of the witchcraft and occult that's in these films. I'm tired of showing sickness or quarantine, and I'm really tired of seeing children being kidnapped or possibly tortured. So if they could take those things out in the next films and just make it more creative and more happy and more interesting, and like goodness prevails over all, and show about like honor and love and respect and like more unity, then I would be much more happy. But right now they're just really freaking dark, and I just, we've already got the real world. Like, this is supposed to entertain us and be for family oriented stuff.
I get it.
That's true. That's a very good statement.
That's fair.
I haven't been too impressed with Phase 4. It's just most of their movies are in the bottom tier for me. And I just wish they would step up their game. We do miss, like, I guess, the old characters like Iron Man and Captain America.
Yes.
I think they're going to have to bring them back at some point. We'll see how the box office does for Thor. I heard it's trending towards 135 to 140 million.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
And it's not very good. A lot of people are saying it's coming in below the estimates. And you also think that the price of a movie ticket has gone up quite a bit since previous other Marvel movies. You know, they have to kind of look at what they're doing and try to get the audience to have more faith in them. I'm not interested in it at all in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. I just never liked the character or the movies. They're fun, but I don't think he deserves three movies, that character. I guess the one I'm looking forward to the most is Guardians 3, because I've always enjoyed the Guardians movies. And they have a really nice mixture of humor and action. And that's where the humor works. It's like you go to a Guardians movie to see a lot of humor.
Yeah.
With a Thor movie, you want to see more of a story.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like they let us down a little bit with that. Like, Jane could have survived for another movie and then kicked the bucket. But for some reason, like you said, maybe she just didn't want to do anymore. Right. Or she's leaving it open to see what the fans want. If this movie makes a lot of money, they'll try to bring her back.
Yeah, I could see that.
But yeah, it's like when you look at the horizon of the movies that are coming out, Fantastic Four, if that's part of Phase 4, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, you know, but that's basically about it, so let's hope.
Yeah.
Let's hope Feige does something good, you know. Didn't he go away on an island recently, retreat to kind of go over?
Did he what?
He went on an island retreat to go over.
Yeah, they planned out the next 10 years, supposedly.
Nice.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're listening to the fans, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think they're banking a lot on the Fantastic Four and the X-Men and all that stuff, so.
I'm surprised there was no trailer for Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't got anything other.
It's only like a couple of months away, and we haven't even seen a teaser.
Yeah, it's November. Yeah, not even like a teaser trailer. Yeah, that's just like shot to Wakanda and like, you know, some like quick scenes from the movie or something, and then that's it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a missed opportunity, especially with so many people going to see Thor.
I was a little surprised that we didn't get anything. I agree.
Any final words, guys? Does anybody want to say anything that I might have missed, like with Thor? Or because we're coming to a close?
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, Thor kept saying it's another classic Thor adventure, and I think that summed up the movie perfectly. It was very, there was a clear beginning and a clear end, and we kind of just got to check in with him, check in with the Guardians, and it wasn't super deep, but it was still really fun and enjoyable.
Yeah. No, I think, like I said, I think if you can accept the humor or even like that kind of humor, I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this movie, for sure. I mean, it's I wouldn't argue with anybody that there are some times that I wish it might have been a little bit more serious, you know, some of the lines and things like that, like the moments. But like I said, I had a lot of fun with the movie. You know, go goats.
Go goats.
But, But no, yeah, I just, like I said, it's a good movie. I think Bianca said it well, laid out a good adventure. I think it's a nice way to almost reestablish Thor again, kind of gives him a little bit of a fresh start. You know, they're kind of the same thing with Spider-Man at the end of No Way Home.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of have like a clean surface moving forward.
Yeah.
So that might be, and I think that's what I was trying to kind of get at. Maybe that's what they're using a little bit of Phase 4 to do with some of these characters. You know, it's kind of, because it's so, it's going to be so hard, Joda, to redo the Infinity Saga.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't, you know, and I'm not saying that they can't. I'm not saying we have more to get to this, but it was just done so well that I think, you know, we may need to, like, let them just kind of, you know, get these characters, you know, kind of on a different path, reestablish them a little bit. You know, hey, this is what now what's coming, and then, you know, we'll kind
put
of kick
it, all
it right,
together
and we'll kind of kick it in. So
into something.
But
else.
Again, overall, if you fun time, a very fast paced movie doesn't make you sit there. One of the rare times I feel like it could have been about 15, 20 minutes longer. This is one of those movies where it should have been a little bit longer. But other than that, like I said, it's a fun movie, good time, and I think you'll laugh.
All right, Fedra.
Yeah, I think definitely it's something worth to watch again. Definitely want to see it again. And I agree that if you can get over that humor portion of it, it's really a good feel-good film. And I definitely agree it could have been a little bit longer, but I really enjoyed the pace overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's no Citizen Kane, it's no Gone with the Wind, but it's a fun, entertaining movie. You know, you take your family to it, and I'm sure they'll have a good time. So.
Yeah.
That's all you can say. So we are at the 2 p.m. mark. So I guess we'll just wrap this up. Fedra, do you want to tell everyone where they can find you?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Instagram or be my friend on Facebook. And you can email me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
There you go.
You can also find me on Instagram. And you can also find me on Twitter. And yeah, that's about it. Don't worry about me.
Follow me on Instagram at Bianca Ferrero. Send me a message if you want to talk about Thor.
Yeah, and you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. If you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, just let me know. So I guess with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 31. So until next time, see ya.